From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. State drug control officials are warning Iowans about a new fake marijuana called K2, or spice. This after the death of an Indianola teen. They are also suggesting to the governor that the substance be banned during the next legislative session. This hour, we'll explore what we really know about K2 and how it compares to other legal drugs like salvia, nicotine, and alcohol. My guests, Gary Kendall, director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy, and Jonathan Call, a cognitive neuroscientist at Iowa State University. Our discussion starts right after this news update. And this is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. State drug control officials are warning Iowans about a new synthetic marijuana called K2. It's also called spice. This after the death of a young man in Indianola. State drug control officials are also suggesting to the governor that the substance be banned during the next legislative session in January. This hour, we'll explore what we really know about K2 and how it compares to other legal drugs like alcohol, nicotine, and a drug called salvia. But first, a conversation I had earlier today with Mike Roska of Indianola. Mike is the father of David Roska, the 18-year-old young man who died on June 6th after smoking K2. The Des Moines Register reported his death as a suicide. I began the conversation by expressing my condolences for the loss of his son and then asked Mike Roska to tell us what kind of kid David was.
Oh, David was, fairly typical 18-year-old young man. He was a good student. He was a bright kid. Had a lot of friends. Was a popular kid. Well liked. Enjoyed music very much. Was an avid Packer fan. Loved a lot of people and had a very strong Christian faith, and was looking forward to another season of his life when he graduated high school here just a few weeks ago.
It's been about 2 weeks since his suicide. What can you tell us about the circumstances that led to your son David's death on June 6th?
Well, the first thing that I would tell you is we don't really know whether it was a suicide or not. We know that he was killed by a weapon. The other thing that we know is that prior to his death, he had smoked a substance called K2. And based on what I know of that drug, he was not, after smoking that, in his right mental nor physical being. And as such, we frankly don't know whether this was something that, not realizing because of the delusions and paranoia that this drug can give to people, whether he just did not realize what he was doing at that point in time, or whether he thought he was doing something else and somehow mishandled a weapon because he was protecting himself from paranoias. So the truth of the matter is we don't really know what happened from the time after he smoked the K2. We simply know that he's dead.
Were you with David after he had smoked K2 at any time?
He only smoked it once, and that's been verified by a number of sources. And I was not home. My younger son and I were actually out fishing, and so we were not home when this happened. He had smoked the substance and had freaked out and was walking around Buxton Park with a couple boys that he had smoked this with. And make a long story short, they were going to go eat, and David said he was tired, wanted to come home, and so he came home somewhere between then and His death. We're not real sure of some of the details that happened.
Mm-hmm. So all of the firsthand accounts of David's behavior after smoking K2 come from these two friends he was with in the park?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Did you
and keep in mind, they smoked the same thing he did.
Right.
So, you know, they're impaired
their
minds,
well.
Their stories were impaired as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever know David to be at all suicidal prior to this?
Absolutely not, no. I mean, David had, he was, from that standpoint, a very typical young man with, you know, typical stresses and trials and tribulations and so forth. The other thing that was related in his Des Moines Register story, it's reported that a friend of his mother, my wife Jan, reported that David had talked to suicide in the past, and the truth of that is that's at best a stretch. There was a point in time last winter where David broke up with his girlfriend, and he was a sick puppy at that point in time, and at that point in time he was upset about it. But after 2 days, they got back together, and it was something that, you know, he worked through, they worked through, and everything was fine. To the contrary, he had just gotten back from his girlfriend's family's graduation party in St. Louis and was very much in a celebratory-type manner. And the plan was they were going to go to some graduation parties that evening. And he was an avid hunter, and he wanted to take up bow hunting. He had put a bow on hold at Bass Pro Shop. We talked about getting his computer ordered for you and I, where he planned to go to school. And there was just all different things that were coming together that clearly pointed to David not anticipating what had happened.
So the issue you have with the media coverage thus far is the characterization as a suicide. Anything else?
No. No, I would say that. I mean, the as far as the effects of the drug itself and so forth, the thing that I want to point out is that David was a typical kid. He wasn't somebody that had mental or emotional issues and then smoked this drug. I think that paints a different picture than somebody who was in his right mind, typically, but after smoking the substance, was messed up. I have heard multiple stories from people as far as delusions and hallucinations, everything from seeing people sitting next to them that look like they're on fire to an individual who told us that felt like razor blades were coming out of the wheel of his car to another person who felt that he was being chased by monsters. And so the truth is different drugs affect different people in different ways.
And all the things that you just described, the effects were after smoking K2 or Spice.
That's correct. That's correct.
Last week, Gary Kendall, who will also be on this hour, director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy, issued a warning about K2. He also said he would seek a ban on the substance in the next legislative session in January. Are you satisfied with the state's reaction so far?
I am, yes. The reality of the situation is this is sold under false pretenses. It's sold as incense. Nobody buys it as incense. The people that I have talked to, even how it's marketed, I don't know many things in this world that are sold by the gram for the prices that they get for it. You walk into a typical novelty store, head shop, whatever you want to call it, to purchase this type stuff. My understanding is it's not out with the regular incenses. They have it behind the counter in a glass case. It's something that you have to ask for. And the fact that people are going in to ask for the stuff, I don't know many people that are going to spend $40 to $50 for 2 or 3 grams of a very expensive incense when they can go to Walmart or someplace else and buy some cheap candles. It's legal. Kids think, well, gosh, if it's legal, how bad can it be? And so I feel very strongly that this is sold under false pretenses, and the people who are selling it know how and why they're selling it.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Mike Rozga of Indianola. He's the father of 18-year-old David Rozga, who died under circumstances that are still somewhat unclear after smoking the synthetic marijuana known as K2 or Spice. Mike, so we can expect to see you in the Iowa legislature lobbying for the banning of K2 in the next session.
To be honest with you, I don't know what that's going to look like. I know what we want to do. I don't know for sure how to do this, but people are coming forward that are helping us do this. I'm not looking for a public platform, so I may not physically be there, but I will certainly be there in spirit. And I promised Gary Kendall that we would do anything that we could to get the message out, because the reality is they don't come back into session until January. And until that time, parents and teens don't know what this is. Some of what we feel we need to do between now and then is just educate people as to that this is out there, and it is it's not good stuff.
Mike Rosgott, not to minimize your loss at all, the loss of your son, and please don't take this the wrong way, but tragically, many, many young people die from alcohol-related accidents, and we don't ban alcohol. So what makes your son's K2-related death different than alcohol deaths that happen so many times in this country?
I think part of the difference is alcohol is something that the average person can sit down and have a beer or two and still function. They're not going to be delusional. They're not going to think people are chasing them. And so a substance like K2, where you smoke this once and have a couple hits of this drug to take you to that level, I think is a different situation.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Mike, what is most important to you that listeners know right now about your son's death?
It was tragic. David was loved and he loved. I couldn't tell you the outpouring of support and prayer and love that we've had from our local community and from outside the community. My main thing that I want to do is thank people for that at this point in time, and also get the message out that this isn't something that we need to have on our streets, and we need to educate the public in regards to what it is and do whatever we can to get it off the street.
Mike Rosga of Indianola, thank you very much. And once again, very, very sorry about your family's loss.
Thank you for the time.
A conversation I had earlier today with Mike Rosga of Indianola. Mike is the father of David Rosga, the 18-year-old young man who died after smoking K2. When we come back after a break, we'll explore what we really know about this synthetic marijuana called K2, also called spice, how it compares with other legal drugs like alcohol. It's also compared to something called salvia. When we come back, Gary Kendall will be with us, director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy. Jonathan Call, a cognitive neuroscientist, a lecturer at Iowa State University. He teaches a course on psychoactive drugs and their effects on human behavior. That's when we come back. We hope you'll join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Have you tried K2? Should it be banned in Iowa? Let us know, 1-866-780-9100. Or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. If you've just joined us, the state drug control officials are warning Iowans about a synthetic marijuana new to Iowa called K2. It also goes under the name of spice. This after the death of 18-year-old David Rosga of Indianola. In our first part of our program, a conversation I had with David's father, Mike Rosga of Indianola. So this hour, the rest of it, we want to explore what we really know about K2 and how it compares with other legal drugs and illegal drugs, alcohol, marijuana. Joining me now, Gary Kendall. He's director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy in the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Des Moines. Good afternoon to you, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the program today.
Also joining us from Iowa Public Radio Studios in Ames, Jonathan Call. He's a cognitive neuroscientist and a lecturer at Iowa State University. Good afternoon to you, Jonathan. Jonathan, are you there at the Ames studio?
Yes, I am.
Hi, we've finally contacted you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, Jonathan, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I want to turn to Gary Kendall first of all. Your office is recommending a ban on K2, warning citizens up to that point, and then a ban to be enacted when the Iowa legislature reconvenes in January. Why? What's the reasoning behind this?
Basically, it comes down to access, and we want to be able to regulate or control the access to the substance. Right now, it's just quite frankly too accessible to, you know, any 18-year-old or older that walks into a head shop or an incense shop around the state of Iowa can purchase this stuff. And it's really an untested, unregulated substance, and we just think that's a recipe for disaster.
So right now it is, you have to be 18 and older to buy it under the guise of incense at a head shop.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. So what about the question I asked of Mike Roska about alcohol? We have a lot of alcohol-related deaths in this country, have for generations, a tragedy. What makes K2 different?
It's not so much different. We control access to alcohol, too, or at least we attempt to. You know, we have a 21-year-old drinking age, and that's the age that you have to be to possess it. So we do have controls or regulations that we're trying to implement on alcohol. It's not that much different. There's a lot of other factors in play when it comes to alcohol, as far as, you know, parts of the economy and the different strength of lobbying forces of the industry and the jobs that are created by the industry, those types of things. And so those weigh against a lot of any further regulation that might happen in that area. But, you know, K2 or spice, it's a substance that's manufactured outside the country. It's marketed in this country as incense, but it's, as Mr. Roska indicated, it's $45 for 3 grams, and mm-hmm. that's about the most expensive incense I've ever heard of, and I can't envision anybody actually purchasing it to use it as incense. So mm-hmm. it's really, I think you have to look at any benefit that might be gained from the substance and weigh it against the danger.
Mm-hmm. So what is the type of regulation that you're recommending, you will be recommending to the governor in regards to K2? This is not to make it on par with marijuana as it currently is in Iowa, or on par with alcohol where you have to be a certain age and it's regulated. You can't operate a motor vehicle, for instance, while you're under the influence of alcohol. Would that be the same with K2?
Our plan is to submit legislation that would make it a controlled substance, so it would be a Schedule II controlled substance, more than likely.
Which means?
Basically that you won't be able to go buy it at the mall. You know, it's something that there'll be a penalty for possessing. But basically what it would accomplish is that it gets it out of the stores in the retail locations. And it, like I said, it comes back to access. It reduces the accessibility of the substance.
Mm-hmm. And would it then be on par with marijuana or more on par with alcohol?
Well, that's yet to be determined through the process. I can tell you that we've tried to make a controlled substance out of a close cousin of this. It's called salvia. The last 3 years, we filed a bill that would make it a controlled substance, and it's a kind of a it's like a, I don't know, sausage-making process, I guess, to take it to the legislature. And things change. It rarely comes out like you submit it. And really, we're pretty flexible on what the end result looks like, as long as we keep in mind the end goal of reducing access. And we've had a few modifications to the salvia bill over the years that we think, accomplish the controlling of the access without, playing into some of the fears that people have that we're going to try to fill up the prisons with, you know, salvia users or dealers, which isn't the case.
Gary Kendall is director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy. Jonathan Call, you're a cognitive neuroscientist, a lecturer at Iowa State University, and you teach a course on psychoactive drugs and their effects on human behavior. Tell us about K2. Can you describe the experience of being on K2, having it is a legal drug, so if you said I've smoked K2, that would work, wouldn't it?
Well, I have not smoked K2 or spice, but I have looked into the research looking at it. K2 is a series of herbs and spices that are mixed with various active ingredients that were designed to mimic the effects of marijuana. And a lot of the effects of K2 in spice are going to be similar to the effects of the active ingredient in marijuana, specifically delta-9 THC. One problem with spice and K2 is that these incense, that they call them, are actually fairly new And the synthetic cannabinoids that are designed to mimic the effects of marijuana, we really don't know a lot about the long-term effects of those and if they truly, you know, reflect, mimic the effects of marijuana or if they do other things as well.
Mm-hmm. You call them cannabinoids, so that tells me they are drawn from cannabis, actually, that are then added to this herb?
Well, cannabinoids, delta-9 THC, is a specific cannabinoid within marijuana that is thought to have the primary psychoactive properties of the drug. And so many of these synthetic ingredients or these active ingredients that are being added to either K2 or spice are drugs or are ingredients that are designed to mimic the effects of the active ingredients in marijuana.
Mm-hmm. So what does it do in the brain?
Well, it's going to have similar effects that marijuana has. Marijuana is really a mild hallucinogen compared to some of the more extreme potent hallucinogens like LSD, shrooms.
And so for someone who's never smoked any marijuana, the range of experience, depending on the individual, might be from where to where?
Well, it's really dose-dependent. Initially, you can have some sedation, insomnia, increased appetite, as many probably have already seen in the movies that portrayed out many times, as well as decrease in anxiety, reduction in pain. Now, when you do more, when you increase the dose, you can get insomnia, as well as you can get anxiety and some mild hallucinogenic effects associated with it.
Jonathan Call is a cognitive neuroscientist at Iowa State University, and he's joining us along with Gary Kendall of the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy. Time to squeeze in a call before we have to take a break. We want to reach out to you, our exchange listeners. If you've tried K2, tell us about your experience and your thoughts about it being regulated more heavily in Iowa. 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Let's go to Steve, who is on the road. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, I wanted to respond to the question, what the difference is between K2, and I've never enjoyed the substance, and alcohol is, I think that, you know, alcohol is so entrenched, it's be difficult to do anything. With K2, we're at the forefront of that, and I think if it's this dangerous, that now we have an opportunity to correct that. My question was, these Sika shacks that are around, there's one in Ames that you go in and smoke. Is this the same substance that they're smoking there?
Okay, a quick response to that. Jonathan Call, can you respond to that? Do you know?
I believe not. I believe that's just tobacco.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That would make
Gary
sense.
Kendall, would you know anything about that?
I don't have knowledge that they are smoking it, but it's certainly something that probably could be smoked in those shops. I don't know that they are.
Okay, Steve, well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Good subject.
Thank you, Steve, for calling. If you'd like to join our conversation when we return, you can call now, 1-866-780-9100. How do we decide what drugs to regulate, which ones to ban, which ones to make illegal? Get your thoughts on that when we return, 1-866-780-9100, or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Also, when we return, State Representative Mark Smith will be with us. This is the exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with the exchange. Glad you could join us over the noon hour. If you've just joined us, state drug control officials are warning Iowans about a synthetic marijuana new to Iowa, relatively new, called K2. It's also called Spice. This after the death of an 18-year-old in Indianola after smoking K2. We're exploring what we know about K2, how it compares with other legal drugs. Salvia, maybe you've heard of that. We want to talk about that. Nicotine and alcohol, you've certainly heard about those. Jonathan Call with us, cognitive neuroscientist and lecturer at Iowa State University. Gary Kendall with us, director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy at the studios of Iowa Public Radio with me in Des Moines. Gary Kendall, a clarification. You misspoke in the first half of the show. The bill that you want to introduce in the coming January session of the legislature would not make let me clarify that.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. What we're seeking to do is make it a Schedule I controlled substance because there's no medical value or medicinal value to it, and it'd be like our legislation that we've submitted in years past regarding salvia. So basically what we're planning to do is add K2 or the chemical elements that are added to K2 to the salvia legislation that we've introduced in the past.
Okay. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about salvia. Jonathan Call, you teach a course on psychoactive drugs and their effects on human behavior. Tell us how salvia, what effect salvia has on a person, how it's different than K2.
Well, salvia is a much different drug in terms of the effects it has. Salvia would probably be classified as a true hallucinogen. It has effects, at least based on research, similar to psilocybin or mushrooms. And it works on different regions of the brain. And as a result, it doesn't have some of the euphoria that's associated sometimes with synthetic cannabinoids or synthetic marijuana as well as marijuana. And typically the effects of that is you get a dissociation from the body, usually lasts. You can get some visual hallucinations when you're on salvia. Typically lasts about, the effects last about half an hour. They're very brief. And looking at the potential for abuse and reuse, people typically don't use this repetitively over a course of time. It's not, many people report the effects of salvia as not being very pleasant because it doesn't affect the reward systems on the brain compared to other drugs like alcohol, cocaine, heroin, and drugs like that.
Even as a neuroscientist, how do you, when you put K2 and salvia next to, say, alcohol, how do you assess their relative risks?
Well, in my class, I think a misconception is alcohol is relatively safe because it's used by a lot of people. However, I would say that alcohol is probably one of the most dangerous drugs out there, whether illicit or legal. And so I'd say salvia and, you know, K2 and spice, I need to caution, I don't know, and neither do a lot of researchers know, some of these synthetic marijuanas exactly if they're really reflecting what marijuana does. But if they do, they're relatively much safer than the effects of alcohol. I mean, alcohol is one of the only drugs, whether illicit or legal, that, you know, withdrawal symptoms from it can be so extreme that a person can die of convulsions. Going to delirium tremors.
Jonathan Call is a cognitive neuroscientist and a lecturer at the Iowa State University. Also with us, Gary Kendall, director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy. If you'd like to join our conversation, have you tried salvia or K2? Should it be banned in Iowa or regulated in some other way than it is now? Tell us your story, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, we're on Twitter at IPR. Talk. And now I'd like to turn to State Representative Mark Smith. Mark Smith, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Tell us where you're from the state. You're a Democrat, right?
That's correct. I chair the Human Resources Committee, and I'm from Marshalltown.
Okay. And you have, in the past, pushed legislation to criminalize salvia, and now we'll be doing the same for K2. Tell us your reasoning there.
Well, first of all, I think that I'm the only member of the Iowa General Assembly who's both a licensed independent social worker, mental health professional, and also a certified alcohol and drug counselor. So these are issues that are very near and dear to my heart. When I'm not in the legislature, I'm spending a good deal of time with people who've developed abuse and dependency on different drugs. So I'm always concerned about what's coming out and how we can keep these drugs from endangering our population.
Mm-hmm. So what would the legislation in the coming, what will your role be in the coming session for the legislation?
Well, I think I was listening to what Gary had to say earlier with this, and I'm trying to remember the process that we've gone through. I believe the first year that the Office of Drug Control Policy introduced the salvia legislation. It passed the House, and then it got caught up in some snags on the Senate side. And then we tried a couple of different ways on getting through legislation since then. And as he mentioned, the sausage-making process, we haven't got that accomplished yet. So I'll probably be introducing the same legislation that the Office of Drug Control Policy has introduced and that I've introduced in the past for both of these drugs.
Mm-hmm. Since the bill to ban salvia, regulate salvia, died, what makes you think this bill concerning both salvia and K2 will be more successful?
Well, I think that with also hearing the professor talk about the use of the drugs, salvia is a powerful visual hallucinogen, if I remember correctly, and the only thing I think he mentioned about mushrooms coming close to this, and then I think late stages of alcohol dependence where people start having visual hallucinations. So it's a different acting drug, and then the comments that were made about the long-term use of it, that if I remember correctly, the dependency factor has not been formed with that drug. The synthetic marijuana that we're talking about now, I think, is a little more of a clear path. We also, unfortunately, as we had in the first part of the program, heard a death that's connected with it. So I think some of these kinds of concerns bring this more to the forefront of the legislature.
If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100 or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org, talking there with State Representative Mark Smith. Let's go back to our phones. JoJo from Ames is joining us. Good afternoon, JoJo. Welcome to the exchange.
How's it going?
Fine. What is your relationship to K2?
I've tried K2 on an occasion a couple of weekends ago, and my effects were that it was kind of just a more synthetic, plasticky feel, you know, kind of like you'd get from a toy or something. Kind of beg just for a quick feeling or something close to that the effects of marijuana, but most of the, you know, ingredients in it probably aren't really even close to that. They just are trying to get.
So you've smoked both marijuana and K2, and you're saying they're similar or relaxing?
Yeah, I'm a regular marijuana user, and I've smoked K2 before, but K2 is, my opinion of it, it just puts you out a lot more. It's a lot more of a, like a sedation feeling. Dissociative, I don't know, like, it's kind of just skipping around marijuana. Marijuana, in comparison, is pretty silly as, like, why it's not legal. I mean, you have, like, alcohol, tobacco, things like that that obviously have many, many deaths, even caffeine, aspirin, things like this that are on, you know, the market, on the streets, and you have something like marijuana with that's been used for thousands and thousands of years for medicinal purposes, and it's illegal. So I really, you know, don't understand that as a
so the conversation, that the people on this program who are saying they should both salvia and K2 should be a Schedule One controlled substance like marijuana, you disagree?
Well, I've never tried salvia before, but I have talked to quite a few people who have tried it, and kind of, it's not, I mean, it's not something you want to do again. Usually they try it, and it's kind of that one-time experience, and it's not really anything beneficial to them, and they kind of just go through this kind of nightmare, real extreme scenario from like 10 to, you know, 30 minutes and come out of it, and they, I don't know. It's not something you'd want to do over again, really.
Okay, thank you very much. JoJo from Ames, thank you for calling 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Brad from Des Moines. Good afternoon, Brad. Brad, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, we've got to get rid of that other line. Yes, we do. Brad, now you're there. Brad, I think we've gotten that taken care of. Brad, welcome to our program. Sorry about that. Brad is no longer there. Okay. So let me turn to you before we go to our next caller, Mark Smith. What about the argument here that we had, well, the the research stated by Jonathan Call, our neuroscientist, that alcohol, by far and away, is a much more dangerous drug in our culture, even though it's much more socially acceptable.
Well, I would agree with that. If the argument is that we have a considerable amount of duplicity when it comes to drug policy, I certainly would agree with that. The drug that we haven't mentioned yet is nicotine, which kills more people far above even alcohol, and then followed by alcohol, and then a very distant third, the other drugs that we've made illegal. So clearly, we've been all over the board with this. My argument back would be that two wrongs don't make a right, and that we have this long cultural relationship with alcohol. I don't think that we need any more substances on the market for people to mess up their thinking with.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the argument of just personal responsibility? Say, why should the government, if K2 or marijuana, let's take K2 because that's our subject, is not as dangerous as alcohol, why can't you leave that to my personal responsibility to judge?
Well, again, I think that we have this line between personal responsibility and government intervention. Usually government intervention occurs when we're trying to protect more of the populace. So it's not just the individual who's using the substance. It is other people affected by it. You had a grieving father on the phone earlier or on the radio earlier during this hour who's clearly affected by someone else's drug use.
Okay. Jonathan Call, I want to ask you about the history of legal and illegal drugs. I wonder if you can take us through the path of how a drug, we have alcohol, we have nicotine, how it has become legal, the path to legality and illegality when it comes to drugs. What factors go into that?
Well, I mean, the legalization of drugs traditionally, ever since the schedule came out, was to judge drugs based on potential for harm, potential for abuse, while also taking into consideration potential therapeutic uses of those drugs. Now, in the 1800s, heroin, cocaine, alcohol, those were all legal, and they were being used in various products. Coca-Cola had cocaine. In fact, people were starting to advocate that heroin could be used to treat alcoholism. And, you know, in the 1800s, one of the things that many groups, political activists, wanted to become illegal, one of the main ones, was actually alcohol. Now, obviously, that didn't work, but with marijuana, heroin, and cocaine, that obviously did become illegal. And sometimes the illegality is fostered, or one reason is just the majority of the population doesn't do that, and sometimes historically it's been associated or associated with a minority. For example, marijuana in the Southwest during the Depression was associated with Mexican immigrants, and there's a lot of push to make it illegal as a result of that.
Jonathan Call teaches a course on psychoactive drugs and their effects on human behavior at Iowa State University. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Jacob in Iowa City. Good afternoon, Jacob. Welcome to our program.
Hi, thank you.
Go ahead.
I actually had a question specifically directed towards Mark. I guess more not as much of a question as much as a statement. Looking at the criminality aspect of this new bill, possibly, or this new legislation, I guess one would beg the immediate question. We've already talked about the negative effects of alcohol, nicotine, various other substances. What would be the benefits of making yet another substance that's really not that widely used comparatively another criminal problem?
Okay, response from State Representative Mark Smith.
Sure.
Yes, thanks for that question. I think that the benefit from that would be taking another substance off the market and making it not available to the people living in the state of Iowa. Now, how we do that, as Gary Kendall can also attest, is a bit challenging. We're concerned about increasing the number of criminal offenses that are occurring and increasing the prison population, even though Gary says that's not what we're intending to do. That's been part of the discussion on the part of the legislature. But the method that we do it is that is what we need to find so that we don't have these substances available to the people.
Well, and then a follow-up would then be, I don't see how, if we can't secure our borders from the massive amounts of Mexican marijuana and cocaine being brought into this country, how are we supposed to stop in only Iowa and us being an island surrounded by states that also still serve K2 and spice and salvia, how we're supposed to secure that? I don't see locking down the supply versus making just more criminals.
Okay,
the supply is still going to be rampant. We have advertisements for fireworks in Iowa, but they're illegal in Iowa.
Let me throw that half of your. Thank you, Jeremy from Iowa City. I want to throw that part of the question, your follow up, to Gary Kendall, director for the governor's office of drug control policy.
And basically, what I would say is that all we can deal with is Iowa. That's our jurisdiction. We're working also with our federal delegation to try to take steps on the federal level to make this a controlled substance. And it's been this substance and salvia have both been on DEA's watch list for a number of years. And I think we're making progress on that. And unfortunately, with each tragic death that occurs related to these substances, I think that advances us further down the road of being successful in making it a controlled substance on the federal level.
State Representative Mark Smith, how do you size it up, the chances of this bill becoming law?
Well, I think that we have two substances now instead of one, and we have a tragedy that has occurred, unfortunately, now. We're seeing more wide-scale use of both substances, so I think that the chances are better during this next legislative session. If I may, I want to also say something on this issue about shoring up Iowa, and that is we have made a difference with methamphetamine in the efforts that we've made in being able to secure the precursors for manufacture.
Okay, let's go to our next caller, Thomas from Emmett County. Good afternoon, Thomas. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I just want to say, first of all, I really like your program.
Thank you, Thomas.
I have a comment and a question also. Why is it okay to have alcohol and cigarettes? And you guys mentioned that cigarettes kill more people than any other drug and alcohol combined. The other gentleman actually mentioned something about lobbying power of these companies. I don't understand why is it okay for, you know, anyone practically to go to a gas station or a supermarket or anywhere and buy cigarettes and alcohol. And a substance like this, when, you know, some of the studies that they've made and comments that they made about it are wrong. I mean, the gentleman said that spice can give you, you can lose sleep over it, which is completely the opposite in my experience.
Mm-hmm. So you have used spice, you have used K2. I guess they recognized earlier several times the duplicity in what we recognize as harmful substances, alcohol being very harmful, nicotine being very harmful, yet they are legal. Thomas, what would you recommend we do about K2 and salvia? What would, if you could be rule Iowa, what would you say would happen with salvia and K2? Stay legal as they are, no regulation?
As of salvia, I can't really comment on that one. I've never had any experience with it. But as for spice, leave it alone. I mean, why bother? Why take up taxpayer money to bring such a? It's basically a dumb issue into our, you know, the state and things like that. There's no the studies. They don't even have, you know, a full study on this. I mean, they can't really specify that the death of this kid was actually attributed to that. I mean, he actually talked about suicide in the past, too.
Okay, we have Thomas, we have just a minute or so. I want to get a quick response from Jonathan Caller, cognitive neuroscientist. Has there been any studies done on K2, on SPICE?
Well, there has been. So K2, again, I need to make sure, clarify that K2 and SPICE sometimes have different synthetic versions of marijuana in them. Now, some of them are actually more potent than the active ingredients in marijuana. And just to clarify for the caller, what I said is in low doses, K2 and SPICE actually are associated with making people sleepy. However, in high enough doses where you start getting into the hallucinogenic properties of it, you do actually have an impairment in the ability to sleep. So research is pretty early on in terms of fully understanding the effects of these drugs and if they do indeed directly resemble the effects of marijuana.
Okay, very good. We'll have to end our conversation there. Mark Smith, not to, even though there's not been much research on it, but you want to go ahead with this regulation of salvia and of K2.
I do.
That's the plan. That's the plan. So the next we'll hear from you about this will be when?
Oh, probably, if I have the honor of continuing serving in this capacity, I'll order a bill in November.
Okay, Mark Smith, State Representative Mark Smith, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us as well. Jonathan Call, cognitive neuroscientist and lecturer at Iowa State University. Gary Kendall, director for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy. Thank you very much. You had a closing remark, Gary Kendall?
With regard to the alcohol and cigarette comment, I guess I would say, I think that's something that we all have to ask ourselves because more than the lobbyists and that type of influence, it's socially acceptable. And that's why steps can't be taken to further regulate it. So I think that's a question that we all have to ask ourselves.
Gary Kendall, thank you very much. The Exchange is produced by Lindsay Moon, Catherine Perkins, Jeff Schmidt, and Alex Hoyer, production assistants today from Christoph Mai. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available at iowapublicradio.org. Technical support from Julie Englander today. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Also, suggestions for future programs, send them to us at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.